AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment. Your time to shine. Your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. This is the place to be if you're ready for the best podcasts of the paranormal. Curious and sometimes unexplained. Now listen to this.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For over 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death, and so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. Today, we're going to honor all those kind-hearted people who work or volunteer with hospice. We're going to hear many stories today of heavenly visitors who appear to the dying while under hospice care, giving hope and comfort to all that no one dies alone and that we are indeed all escorted into the afterlife with love. Also, a special shout out and words of acknowledgement to those of you Shades of the Afterlife listeners who were so moved by prior episodes that you have taken on volunteering with hospice. Many people have told me that one sure way to get over the fear of dying and to know the reality of the afterlife is to be part of hospice. So thank you, all of you who donate your time and those who may just be inspired to do so after this episode. Unfortunately, so many people die alone, and those loving souls that work and volunteer with hospice really do give people the very best care right up until the end of this physical existence. Cicely Saunders, who was born back in 1918, founded the first modern hospice and, more than anybody else, was responsible for establishing the discipline and the culture of palliative care. She introduced effective pain management and insisted that dying people need dignity, compassion, and respect. St. Christopher's Hospice opened in the southwest of London back in 1967. It is now one of many, but it is still the leader in the field. It was her personal achievement that has now been imitated all over the world. As of 2023, There are over 8,800 hospices and palliative care centers in the U.S. alone, with at least another 8,500 in 125 countries around the world. Hospice provides the best possible quality of life for not only patients, but families of those with 6 or less months to live. Cicely Saunders introduced the idea of total pain management, which includes physical, emotional, social, and spiritual dimensions of distress. And hospice will do everything possible to have the patient pain-free, whether they live their final days in a hospice care facility or in their own home. I'd like to especially mention the YouTube channels of Hospice Nurse Julie, The End Well Project, and Hospice Dr. Christopher Kerr, author of Death is But a Dream. The current book I am reading is called Final Gifts, Understanding the Special Awareness, Needs, and Communications of the Dying by hospice nurses Maggie Callanan and Patricia Kelly. To find more of my past episodes about these heavenly visitors that appear by the bedside, please refer back to Shades of the Afterlife episodes 7, 41, 122, and 154. Before we get into our stories today, let's hear a few words from Dr. Christopher Kerr.
In times of illness, we are drawn closer to those in need and endure tragedy through gestures of compassion and concern. The global calamity of COVID-19 has not just brought death, it has also separated us from each other and from those we love. As a hospice physician who has spent decades at the bedside of dying patients, I have come to realize that no matter how physically alone patients are, few of them die alone. End of life is more than a medical endeavor. Dying is more than the physical manifestations we observe. When medicine can no longer defy illness, nature assumes its rightful place, and dying becomes what has always been, a human experience. It is not just the closing of a life, but a meaningful vantage point that draws people inward. Towards the end of life, people often recall the best parts of living. For some, this occurs consciously through conversations. For others, it comes unconsciously through dreams. The dying process is about progressively deeper sleep and alternating levels of alertness. These states are not moments of confusion or delirium. In our studies, the dying describe them as comforting, subjective experiences that bring clarity and insight and a peaceful end of life. These experiences include vivid dreams. At end of life, people rarely share existential insights or exuberant pronouncements. They don't have epiphanies. Instead, they talk of love in a way that restores their sense of connectedness, of being made whole. Elderly patients experience the return of the mother or father they lost in childhood. Women cradle babies long lost to their touch. They visualize a world where their best relationships define their purpose and their true accomplishments. As a doctor, I do not need to be able to explain these end-of-life experiences to my patients, nor interfere medically. I've learned to show reverence for the strength of the human spirit in its endless quest to heal what is harmed or broken. While we may envision ventilators and IVs, the dying often experience love, presence, and even touch of predeceased loved ones. They revisit the memories of being held and cherished, the culmination of a life rather than its demise. The dying teach us that the best parts of having lived are never truly lost. The lesson seems clear. The totality of our human experience can never be defined or reduced by its last moments.
You can find out more about Dr. Kerr at drchristopherkerr.com. Spell it D-R Christopher K-E-R-R.com. I know for me, it's exciting to hear afterlife stories, near-death experience stories, deathbed visitation stories. They're all great that help us believe. But am I ready to die? Do I want to die? The answer is no. I think it's part of being human for us to want to live as long as possible. We each have that ego mind, though, that doesn't want us to think about the end. Often we don't want to think about putting a will together or preparing for our last days. Or if a loved one starts talking about their will or last wishes, It's hard to listen to, and we may try to deflect that. However, one reason I do these episodes is for all of us, including myself, to be comfortable with the fact that we're going to depart one day and it will be okay. You know how you woke up this morning and it was a brand new day? Yesterday and the days before, or somewhere in the past now, the same thing will happen when we pass. We'll wake up in the afterlife, be very excited with those we are with, feeling young and healthy, being greeted by our loved ones, our pets, in a world that seems so similar to Earth, but so much better. And our life here will seem like it was just the dream. For most people, the dying process is just like when you snuggle into bed at night and that feeling of sleep takes you over, and the next thing happens, you wake up. Even for those who have traumatic deaths, it is said that the soul can leave the body and not feel pain. There are many short stories I'm going to read to you today. Between each story, you'll hear this chime, letting you know one story has ended and the next is beginning. Here's our first story. My sister passed from breast cancer in 2011. She fought so hard and didn't understand it was the end, even 2 days before she died. The night before, I was sitting on the chair at the foot of her bed when she suddenly opened her eyes, smiled, and looked so happy. She said she saw our dad sitting in the chair and felt so peaceful and happy that he was with her. Dad had died in 2005. I knew then and there that there was so much more to our lives than here on earth. When my sweet mom was nearing death, I visited her in hospice early one morning, and she said, "Oh, Richard, I've been everywhere. I've seen everyone. I even saw Edgar." Edgar was her little dog who had recently passed away himself, leaving her very sad. Luckily, I was able to bring Edgar to visit her a few days before he passed, but now I know they are together. My wife passed away November 2nd, 2022. 1 week before, she told me that her mom and our two dogs, who are all deceased, were sitting on a bench at the foot of her bed just looking at her. She asked her mom, "What are you doing here?" She thought it was funny that all she said to her was, "Tell Mike, that's me, not to worry." On the night before my grandmother died, she dreamed she was being welcomed by all the family members who had passed before her, her parents, brothers, and sisters, etc. They were all so happy to meet again. She told the nurses about the wonderful dream and then died a few hours later. I was the caregiver for my sister the last 3 months she was in hospice. She told me she wished I could see everyone too. It was magnificent, she said. There was a party for her with balloons and gifts, and everyone was singing and dancing. She laughed and she called out, "Papa, oh, Papa, it's so good to see you." She was happy and never distressed. She died with a smile. My husband's uncle was in hospice a month before he passed at the age of 81. He told us his mama and daddy were visiting him, and his mama was cooking gravy and biscuits. And when she got them done, they were calling him to come and eat. We all told him that we loved him, and it was okay to go eat with them. He didn't leave yet because my sister-in-law didn't agree. He was hanging on until she told him it was okay. Finally, it was hard for her to do so, but she told him what he needed to do and gave him permission to go eat biscuits and gravy. He patted her on the hand, exhaled deeply, and he was gone. Out of all the reasons there are to believe in the afterlife, for me personally, I love hearing these stories about loved ones being there for each one of us and taking us home. There's no reason to be afraid. No one dies alone. It's time for our break, and then we'll be back with lots more short stories. from Hospice and Heavenly Visitors. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Keep it here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Sandra Champlain will be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
We are happy to announce that our Coast to Coast AM official YouTube channel has now reached over 300,000 subscribers. You can listen to the first hour of recent and past shows for free. So head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website and hit the YouTube icon at the top of the page. This is free show audio, so don't wait. coasttocoastam.com is where you want to be.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Sky. Keep it right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and this episode is filled with short stories of heavenly visitors that were witnessed through hospice. Here's our next story. I sat with my friend's mother during her last days. Although she was asleep for 3 days, she suddenly sat up and with a bright smile, she said, "Oh, Arthur." It was so sweet. However, Arthur wasn't her deceased husband's name. It was the name of her fiancé, who died in combat in World War II, a fact not learned until her funeral. When my mom was in hospice, she said that my dad, Uncle Howard, which was her brother, and her Aunt Julie had come to visit. I said, "They did? That's wonderful, Mom." She said, "And you know what? We ate spaghetti and mashed potatoes." She says, "Isn't that funny?" I said, "Well, that is funny, Mom." My mom's brother passed away 5 weeks before my mom did. He lived in another state, and she was too ill to see him. I remember how she cried,
and said he was supposed to wait for me. After that vision, I said, "Mom, I think you will see him soon and have more spaghetti and mashed potatoes." The husband of my best friend of 45 years passed away at home. I visited him often. Towards the last few weeks before he passed, he would kindly tell me which chair to sit in. I always asked him why, and he said, "You will squish one of my dogs." He had four dogs in his life that had all passed. He looked out, he named every one of them fondly, and said he had their leashes ready to take them on a walk. Before this happened, he feared death, but toward the end, and seeing those dogs, he seemed ready and at peace. Oh, how he loved those dogs. My wife of 56 years died of Alzheimer's and cancer in 2018. She stopped talking 3 weeks before her death. However, 6 days before she died, she told my son and grandson, "I've got Jesus right here with me, and I'm ready to go." Those were her last words, and she fell into a coma and died 5 days later. This next story is from the book that I'm reading called Final Gifts from Two Hospice Nurses. Martha was in her early 60s, dying of uterine cancer, which had spread throughout her pelvis. A widow, she'd lived for many years with her daughter and family. Martha's experience with unseen people was not very dramatic, but her reaction was typical. She wasn't at all surprised or upset by it, and was even able to express her pleasure at seeing what no one else could see. Several weeks before she died, Martha said to me, "Do you know who the little girl is?" "Which little girl?" I asked. "You know, the one who comes to see me," she said. "The one the others can't see." Martha then described several visitors unseen by others. She knew most of them by name, her parents and sisters, all of whom were dead, but couldn't identify a child who appeared with them. But that didn't bother her. "Don't worry," she told me. "I'll figure it out before I go, or I'll find out when I get there. Have you seen them?" "No, I haven't," I said, "but I believe that you do. Are they here now?" "They left a little while ago," Martha said. "They don't stay all the time. They just come and go." "What is it like when they're here?" I asked. "Well, sometimes we talk, but usually I just know that they're here," Martha said. "I know that they love me and that they'll be here with me when it's time." "When it's time?" I said. "When I die," Martha said matter-of-factly. In most cases, the people seen are dead relatives or friends, but sometimes people will tell of seeing an angel or God or some other religious figure. One man said he'd seen the Lord's face. Another said, "There was an angel standing by my bed." Neither of them, nor any of the other people who reported seeing these spiritual beings, were upset. They were usually calm as they talked about it, and seemed comforted and more peaceful in the presence of their invisible visitors. We wondered if people spoke about spiritual or religious beings because they were conditioned to expect them by their religious beliefs, particularly if the person believed in a life after death. We were also concerned that we might be projecting our own beliefs and expectations onto these situations. Because of our concerns, we were particularly interested in the following situation. So here's the story of Angela. Angela was a delightful musician, dying of melanoma at 25. When she entered the hospice inpatient unit, her parents, three young brothers, and several close friends seemed to move in with her. Her parents took turns spending the night in her room. During the day, a small crowd gathered there. The melanoma had started as a mole on her arm, then spread. Many of her more incapacitating symptoms resulted from its effect on her brain. Her left side was paralyzed. She was blind and too weak to get out of bed. But Angela still could speak and was by no means helpless. The day she was admitted to the unit, she said firmly, "I know about you hospice people. I don't want any of that spiritual stuff. No prayers, No chaplains. That's not my thing. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God or heaven. The staff respected Angela's position, but her mother found it very difficult. A devout Catholic, she couldn't accept her daughter's rejection of God and the faith she'd been raised in. All the other kids believe in God and go to church, the mother said. We don't know what happened with Angela. We raised them all the same, but it never took with her. One dark, chilly morning, I responded to Angela's call bell. Her mother had spent the night, and she stirred on the cot as I pushed open the door. Hi, Angela. What can I do for you? I said. Did someone come in here to see me? She said. I don't think so. I didn't see anyone. It's not even dawn yet, and there's no one around, I said. Why do you ask? I saw an angel, she said. I sat on the bed. Tell me what happened, I said. When I woke up, there was an angel sitting in the light from the window, Angela said, with a smile on her face. She described feeling very drawn toward this being who exuded warmth, love, and caring. Her mother jumped off the cot. Angela, it's a sign from God, she said. Mother, I don't believe in God, Angela said, now exasperated. That doesn't matter, her mother said. You've seen God, or at least a messenger from God. Does it matter who it is? Angela snapped. Isn't it enough to know that someone so loving and caring is waiting for me? Angela, what do you think it means? I asked. I don't believe in angels or God, but someone was here with me. Whoever it was loves me and I know is waiting for me. So it means I won't die alone, she said, the smile returning to her face. Her mother's eyes filled with tears, and she put her arms around her daughter. Darling, it doesn't matter who it is, she said. I'm just so pleased this happened. Later, outside Angela's room, her mother said, I know it was either God or an angel, and she insists it can't be. You know how stubborn she is, but what matters most is that this happened. She had realized her daughter's fear of the loneliness of death was alleviated by the knowledge of that loving presence waiting for her. That's from the book Final Gifts, Understanding the Special Awareness, Needs, and Communications of the Dying by hospice nurses Maggie Callanan and Patricia Kelly. There'll be more stories from the book before we're done today. Here's our next story. My mother was dying of cancer, and she said she saw her dad, who died 3 years prior. When my grandmother was dying, I saw her looking at the ceiling from one side to the other side with her eyes open wide and smiling. She asked me, "Do you see those angels?" I said no. She blinked and kept looking and kept asking me if I saw the angels. It was very comforting that she saw the angels before she passed. My grandmother and relatives were telling me about my granddad talking to three angels weeks up to his death. As time went on, there were just two angels. And during his last day in the hospital, the nurses were watching him speak and say to one of them, "I will see you soon." He told my grandmother that there was only one angel left now. However, my granddad had told my grandmother that the angel who is at the end of his bed is going to leave soon and is going to take him with them. And the angel said that it is time for everyone to come and say goodbye. Everyone came to the hospital, and within minutes of the last person entering the room, he said that the angel said it is time, and granddad died peacefully. My mom passed away earlier this year. She was at the end of a terrible battle with cancer. She couldn't speak anymore and could only moan sometimes. But there were a few times close to the end that she'd look to the window with her hands raised towards it and she'd call out for her dad, who passed 29 years ago. She'd call clearly, "Papa," a few times. "Papa" means Papa. I was at the bedside of my mother when she passed. At first, her eyes were glazed over, and then all of a sudden, she looked up to the right, then to the left, then focused on something. We all looked as well to see what she was looking at. Her eyes gradually followed whatever it was down to the foot of her bed, then to her right side. She reached out her hand, smiled, and then she passed. My favorite quote is from author Richard Bach. Don't be dismayed at goodbyes. A farewell is necessary before we may meet again, but meeting again after moments or lifetimes is certain for those who are friends. That always makes me smile and makes me know that whoever we love while we're here on earth, we will see them again. And don't be surprised if they're your heavenly visitor here to take you to your real home. Let's go to the break, and we'll be back with more stories. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The best afterlife information you can get
while you're alive.
Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Hi, this is ufologist Kevin Randall, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain. We will continue with stories from hospice. Here's a story from Tracy. She says, I'm a hospice nurse, but this story is about my own father. He passed away suddenly at the age of 63, 32 years ago. Because I'm a nurse, I wanted to dress him for his wake and make sure everything was perfect. He was always a well-dressed man. So after I convinced the funeral director that I would be just fine, fussing with his suit, shoes, etc., the funeral director left me alone in the room. Soon, I became aware of a maintenance man sweeping slowly in the back of the room. At the time, I thought, how sweet. They are just making sure I am okay. After I finished making sure Dad's shoes were polished and that he had change in his pocket, he always had to have change, I kissed him goodbye and went to thank the director. I also thanked him for the maintenance man in the room because he did make me feel more at ease. He looked at his mortician and then said, there was nobody here but us. Here's the kicker. My dad always told us kids that no matter what, even if you chose to be a broom pusher, be the best damn broom pusher that ever was. I believe who I saw was my dad's spirit pushing that broom in the room with me. I do believe in miracles.
I was a hospice nurse for 15 years. Hospice is a journey. Some patients saw their loved ones who had passed on. One lady lost all of her 5 children in a fire. Just before she died, she told her husband that all of their children were standing at the end of her bed and that she had to go and be with them. She smiled and then took her last breath. When my father died in 1993, he had suffered for years from complications of diabetes. By the end of his days, he was blind, had both legs amputated, underwent hemodialysis, and had not spoken for months. At lunchtime on a Thursday, my mother and I were home when he suddenly began to cry and call my name. Arriving at his bed, he said to me, "They are calling me to go with them because this body no longer fits." So I asked, "Dad, who are they?" And he said, "My mother and my father." Those were my grandparents he was looking at, who died several decades before. The next day, my father died. I was a volunteer helper for hospice. I would go to the homes of patients and give the families some relief to run their errands, take a break, etc., while I watched their loved one. One case involved a 90-year-old man, very close to death. While sitting with him, he suddenly bolted upright, looked around his bed, and said to me, with his eyes bright and shining, "They're all here. They tell me the party is going on, and they came to get me." He started calling out names of men, interspersing them with loud cowboy-type woohoos. Then he finally fell silent, eyes closed, and he had the biggest smile on his face. I had written down all that he had said at the request of his son. Later, when the son returned, he told me that the names were his father's best friends, fellow cowboys that had worked on a cattle ranch out west for years. They had all passed away. I can't tell you how much joy it gave the son to think that his father's friends had come for him to take him to the cowboy party. One of my grandmothers died in hospice after a brief illness. Her daughter and her daughter's husband, my aunt and uncle, were with her as much as possible. My grandma looked up toward a corner of the room and had a beautiful smile on her face. My aunt asked her what she was looking at, and my grandma said, "I see Jesus and my whole family." My grandma was the youngest of 7 children, and she was the last one in her family to die. My aunt and I were very close, and she dreamt often of deceased family members who were around her. In her final dream, she saw a tall, dark-haired, handsome man stand up strong amongst them. She needed no words. She knew it was my son who passed away this year. He was no longer in his wheelchair. He was completely healed. I remember a patient who was never very talkative, and it was very difficult to get even a smile out of him. Not because he was in pain or seriously ill. That was just his style. One day, he was looking up towards the ceiling, and he was smiling his head off. He looked so happy. I asked him if he was okay. He barely moved his head, but he said, "Yes." I went into the supply room only for a brief moment, and when I came out, he had died. But I will always remember the sheer look of joy on his face. I believe he was seeing something or someone which made him so happy. 4 days before my 89-year-old father passed away, I saw him raise his right hand and say, "I'm coming, Mom. Be patient. I'll be there soon. I'll be there in 4 days." And 4 days later, he passed. My father really loved his mother, and it gave me great comfort knowing that she was there to greet him. I had a patient who was actively dying. As her nurse, I stayed by her side and comforted her as much as I could. After about 20 minutes, she began to wave towards the corner of the room. She had this big smile with glow and joy. She grabbed my hand and said, "Look, say hello to my mom." She began reaching her arms out to the empty corner of the room. She died within the hour. My grandmother had a massive heart attack. She was dead for a few moments before being revived. A few weeks later, when she was finally able to speak, she told us she saw her deceased parents, her brothers, her sisters, her first husband, and her friends, all sitting around a big card table playing poker. They turned to her and they told her they couldn't deal her in yet. When my best friend was dying of cancer, she was putting up a good fight. She didn't want to die. She was still a young 60 years old. The day before her body gave out, she became at peace. She stopped fighting and said, "I love you all, but my dad's here, and I'm going to go with him." The last words my father said before his death were, "I have to go now. My parents are here, sitting next to me on the bed, and they want to take me somewhere." He was very peaceful and relaxed, and then he died. My dad was in hospice back in 1994 and was in a comatose state for a few weeks before he passed away. On the day that he passed, he was holding his arm up toward the corner of the ceiling, and I thought he was waking up. I called out to him, but he never responded. He smiled and spoke in a very soft voice to whoever it was he was seeing before his arm dropped, and then 25 minutes later, he passed away. Then, 2 months later, he came to me in a dream, telling me how light he felt. He was flapping his arms like a chicken flaps their wings. He said he felt very light, and it was just wonderful. He also stated that he never had time to tell me that he left $5,000 in his top dresser drawer in his room for me and my wife and two small children at the time. I woke up and told my wife about the dream with my dad. Then I told her about the money he said he left for us. So we both got out of bed and went into his room and opened his top dresser drawer. I took out all of the papers and the books, and at the bottom of the drawer was a white envelope with our names on it. I opened the envelope and counted out exactly $5,000 in cash. Needless to say, I nearly passed out, and ever since that day, I have had a fascination with life after death. I know for a fact, life goes on. My mom just passed away in her sleep at the age of 91, and I took care of her for about 20 years. After her health started failing, the things that have happened after she passed are amazing too. Life definitely does go on, and I look forward to one day seeing my mom and dad again. I worked as an oncology nurse at a children's hospital in the 90s. One night, I was caring for a 12-year-old girl who was dying from leukemia. She was there alone, and it was a very peaceful night. She slept most of it. Her parents were not there. At one point during the night, she woke up and asked me, "Where did the man go?" And I said, "What man?" And she said, "The man that's been sitting in that rocking chair next to her bed." Our unit was locked at night, and we knew everyone who was on that floor, and there was no man that was visible that sat in that chair next to her that night. She died peacefully the next morning. To this day, I know it was someone from heaven coming to take her home. Before passing, my father had vivid dreams of his hometown in Sicily. He could recall everyone's names, the shops, and said it was so clear and that he could remember everything. Dad was 80 when he passed, and hadn't been back to Sicily since he left at the age of 17. I should have realized that this was a sign of his soon-to-be passing. My sister passed 12 months later and said that Dad was at the hospital with her just before she died. It's time to go to our last break, and then we'll be back with more stories. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay there. Sandra will be right back.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. Don't forget to check out my show, Strange Things, each week as I bring you the world of the truly amazing and bizarre right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is afterlife expert Daniel Brakely, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain. We never know how our life is going to play out or the lives of our loved ones, but hearing these stories gives so much confidence that no one dies alone, that there's a bigger plan, that we're greeted, that there's parties, and that people will take us home. I'd like to continue our story time with some stories from the new book that I'm reading called Final Gifts, written by two hospice nurses. They say, sometimes a family decides to withhold information about the death of someone the dying person knows. This impulse is to spare someone emotional pain, but the truth often brings peace, not discomfort. This is the story of Sue. A dignified Chinese woman, Sue was getting devoted care from her daughter, Lily. Both were Buddhists and very accepting of the mother's terminal status. I've had a good life for 93 years, she said, and I've been on earth long enough. She dreamed of her husband, who had died many years before. I will join him soon, she said. But one day, Sue seemed very puzzled. Why is my sister with my husband? She asked. They are both calling me to come. Is your sister dead? I asked. No, she still lives in China, she said. I have not seen her for many years. When I related this conversation to the daughter, she was astonished and tearful. My aunt died 2 days ago in China, Lily said. We decided not to tell mother that her sister had the same kind of cancer.
It was a very painful death. She lived in a remote village where good medical care wasn't available. We didn't want to upset or frighten Mother, since she was so sick herself. What do you think about your mother's questioning why she is being called to come by both her sister and your father? I asked. Mother tells me that my father's been calling her to be with him for the past week, Lily said. It gives me comfort to know they will be together in the next life. So I guess her sister is waiting there for her also, Lily said after much thought. Do you think the news of her sister's death will upset your mother? No, I guess not. They loved each other a great deal. So it'll be wonderful for them to be all together again. I guess I should tell her the truth. When Lily tearfully told her mother about her sister's illness and death, Sue said, with a knowing smile, "Now I understand." Her puzzle was solved. She died 3 weeks later, at peace, and with a sense of anticipation. The companionship and support these presences provide for a person about to die is evident, but some terminally ill people have these experiences months before their deaths and benefit in a similar way over a longer period of time. We don't just see people when we pass. Sometimes, like the man seeing Sicily, get transported back to places in the past. Here's the story of Lucy. Near dawn, a patient's daughter telephoned. Mother says she's been out of her body and has been somewhere else, but now she's back and keeps wanting to tell me about it, Ellie said in a tight, breathless voice. Would you please come over? How is she now? I asked. She says she's fine, Ellie said. Does she seem any different to you? No, she's the same as always, except for the story of leaving her body. Is she upset by having left her body? No, she's fine, feeling quite comfortable and asking for a cup of coffee. I told Ellie to make the coffee and I'd be right over. When I arrived, Ellie looked shaken. Her mother, though, was serene. How are you doing? I asked Lucy. I was just telling Ellie that I went out of here and left this old body behind for a while, Lucy said. Where did you go? I asked. Back to the old farm in Pennsylvania, where I grew up, she said. The kitchen looked the same, and the view across the fields where the cows used to be was so fresh and green. Lucy talked at length about the old farmhouse, how she'd lived in it until she was nearly 20, and then she'd continue to visit until the death of her uncle, who owned it. After it was sold, she hadn't returned. In her opinion, she'd been transported to a place she particularly loved. What do you think this means? I asked Lucy. Oh, I don't know. I guess I just wanted to see it again. In describing her out-of-body experience, Lucy gave many specific details, but sometimes they only refer to a light. Here's Emma's story. Emma, 50, had a husband and two children in their early 20s. When I asked Emma what she missed most because of the limitations of her illness, she replied, entertaining. I love to give parties and cook wonderful food for my family and friends. Her husband reported that many friends brought food to them now, always hoping to send just the right thing to tempt Emma's disappearing appetite. So Emma knew that her family was still eating well, despite the fact that she could no longer cook for them. But it was the joy of sharing her creative cooking with the people she loved that she missed so much. Her daughter was about to graduate from college, and Emma spoke often about how she looked forward to seeing her daughter in a cap and gown. She's the first college graduate in the family, she said proudly. As her illness progressed, Emma spent more time in bed. About a month before she died, I visited and found her propped up on pillows, staring into space with a dreamy look in her eyes. She was smiling peacefully. What's happening, Emma? I asked. There's that beautiful light, she whispered softly. Despite my gentle questioning, she continued to smile dreamily, but offered no further information. She mentioned the light two or three times during my next few visits, never providing details but continuing to look radiant and peaceful. She was a strong-willed woman who struggled to deal with her increasing loss of control as she became sicker. She insisted on continuing to manage her own medicines despite the fact that she was sometimes slightly confused. Her family and nurses were very concerned about her safety and felt this might be dangerous, yet she could not relinquish this control. Rather than have a private duty nurse at home, Emma chose to be admitted into the hospice unit. I visited her shortly after she was admitted. "Oh, if only I could relax," she complained. "What would happen if you relaxed?" I asked. "Well, that light would come closer again, and I could get to know all those people." For a split second, I thought she was referring to her roommates or the staff on the unit. "Unsure?" I asked. "What people?" Emma looked surprised, as if I were asking a ridiculous question. "All these people around my bed, of course," she said, waving her arm to show the size of the crowd that I couldn't see. "You will relax," I reassured her. "This is a safe place to relax and a safe place to get to know all these people around you. The beautiful light will come closer and everything will be all right." The nurse assigned to Emma's care reported that she was comfortable but deteriorating and often appeared busy, preoccupied, as though giving directions or fussing at people unseen. On the eve of her daughter's graduation, I visited again and asked, "What's happening, Emma?" "Well, I have so much to do with all of these people, and that light just keeps coming closer," she replied with a trace of annoyance. "Do you know any of these people?" I asked her. "Well, yes, there's my father," she said, squinting as if to see him better. I smiled and nodded, knowing that her father had died less than a year before. "Is he waiting for you?" I asked. She looked surprised. "For heaven's sake, is that what he's doing?" she asked. "Emma, when will your work be done?" I continued. "Oh, I think probably Sunday," she answered. I immediately called her family to alert them. The next day, Emma put on her wig and makeup to prepare for her daughter's visit after graduation. It was quite a celebration, with cake, champagne, and lots of family pictures taken. The next morning, Emma again put on her wig and makeup, lay back against the pillows with a contented sigh, and within a few hours had slipped from sleep into a brief coma. With her family quietly sitting around her, she peacefully died. Just as she had predicted, it was Sunday, and her work was done. If you're interested in hospice care for yourself, for a loved one, or volunteering, there's a great website, hospicefoundation.org. Many individuals and families really could benefit from care, but don't know how to access it. Some people are afraid to discuss it. Some wait for a physician to suggest it. And some people don't know you can initiate hospice care on your own. Remember that hospice does not extend or shorten life expectancy, but seeks to improve the quality of time that is left and manage pain. If you think hospice may be the right choice for you or a family member, here's how to proceed. Number one, start the conversation. Discuss it with your healthcare provider. Number two, get recommendations. Do some searching in your area. Ask family or friends. Even if your physician doesn't agree that hospice is the right choice, you can contact a local hospice directly for help with a referral. Next, visit and assess the providers. You can request a no-cost, no-obligation visit by the hospice providers. They will send a clinician to your home, or you could visit the hospice facility and get your questions answered. My father spent some time in hospice managing his pain medication. The facility was bright and happy. The staff couldn't have been any greater. Little did I know then that that experience would have me recommending hospice to you now. Certainly that's the route I'm going to go. Well, our time together has come to an end. please remember to come visit me at WeDon'tDie.com. Come to a free Sunday gathering. Join one of our medium classes or other events. I'm Sandra Champlain. Thank you so much for listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
And if you like this episode of Shades of the Afterlife, wait until you hear the next one. Thank you for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.